Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for another good night of fellowship with my brothers and sisters. We thank you, Father, that tonight we'll be led by your Spirit to do and talk about the things that you'd have us to talk about. Lord, we thank you that because of your name, that our prayers are answered every time we open our mouth to pray, Father. And we thank you for it. Because you told us, if you pray in our name, in my name, you shall have whatever you pray in my name, you shall have it. Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that your angels are sitting and waiting, and you're sitting and waiting. And we just praise you, Father, for all the things that you're doing. Father, I just thank you for all the prayers that you've answered for us and are going to answer for us. And we thank you, Lord, that the prayers that we have prayed for everybody on this fellowship have been answered. And the works are in the build, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this great thing that's fixing, you're fixing to bring upon the world, Lord, to bring about this great happening. That's what I'll put it, that great happening, that your sons of God would be shown throughout the world, and this great revival would start because of you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to see a great population explosion in heaven during the times ahead. And we praise you, Father, for putting it in our hearts to getting ready, getting rid of the things that have hindered our walk, and to overcoming the things that have hindered us. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for the work that you're going to do tonight. And I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters. And Lord, we just thank you that tonight your love is going to break forth through everybody for each other in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Missy.
Well, I'd like to pray for the Lord's people in Ukraine, and especially for, I read, there's really only one thing that I really read, look at, and it told me that, said that there's 35,000 children, sex trafficked or whatever, whatever, 35,000 children that Putin has freed up in Ukraine. That's a horrifying amount of kids. And supposedly he wants to do that, not just Ukraine, but throughout Europe. So, but anyway, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to make the job easier, Lord. And I think you have some things coming that's gonna help with that, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, to for your mercy upon these children, that they get back to their parents, and or should I say, maybe get back into good hands. Maybe not all parents are necessarily where they need to go, Lord. But we ask you to put them in hands, Lord, that will love them and take care of them, Lord, and heal their hearts and bring them into your kingdom, Lord, that they know, Lord, that that it's you that's freed them, Lord. No man, but it's you, Lord, and it's by your sovereignty that this has happened, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to continue to free up children all across the earth, Lord, and bring to justice those who have done this to the children, Lord. And we just also ask you, Lord, for your elect in Ukraine, Lord, that you put peace in their hearts, Lord. Help them to understand bring them the truth of what's really going on. And know, Lord, that they can abide in you, the secret place of the Most High, Lord, and that you are their protector. And you are their provider, and that they don't have to fear or be anxious about anything, Lord. Bring ones, Lord, to speak the truth to them and speak your word to them and unite them together, Lord, in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to pray for those kids too. I break the power of Satan off of those kids right now in the name of Jesus. I break the power that he has had in their minds. I command those minds to be cleansed by the purified blood of Jesus, that when they come out, they're going to be perfect. And I thank you, Father, for your healing power sweeping across them right now, healing their poor, mangled up bodies in the name of Jesus. We command healing in their bodies in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for doing a work in their bodies and their minds as they come out of, they bring them out, Lord, and I praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And Lord, I ask and I pray that they don't stop there, that they get them all up out of there in Jesus' name, all across Europe, Germany, France, Spain, all of those places, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Heal their souls. That's right, Julie. Thank you, Father, for doing that as well. In the name of Jesus, that's the name above all names. You said, Lord, when we pray in your name, we shall have it. And I thank you for it, and I believe it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anybody else got a prayer? Or would like prayer? Or a testimony? Praise report. Go, Isaac.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's my favorite thing to ask. I'm sure you're paying attention. Yeah, I just wanted to share something I thought was really awesome. I'm here in Scranton again, and we got our, so there's a few things here. Let me try and narrow this down. So a few weeks ago, y'all, my boss, y'all know, he's been giving me a little bit of a hard time, and, you know, can't really win him over no matter what I do, you know, so I really don't really worry about it at all. And, well, while I was here on site last rotation, it was a real train wreck. I mean, we're talking every meetings multiple times throughout the day, yelling, shouting matches with the customer and us. And it's all because it's really all, it comes down to greed. They don't want to shut down because they're making record amount of profits, and but they want us to commission on top of this. It's just basically what it is. It's an existing piece of equipment that we're adding to this. We're adding a new piece of equipment to this existing piece of equipment, but the existing piece of equipment's got the brains that we're trying to program to it. So it's such a tough task. And it's something we've never seen as a company before. And man, so this is going to get positive. Hang with me. I got to build this up. Excuse me. Long story short, man, they didn't want us going home on our days off. So it looked like I was going to be here till pretty much the end of April. From like, they were saying, no, it's a mistake. You cannot send him home. They are not going home. Big email chain going out to corporate on both sides of the companies. And my boss got on the email, and it's just, you know, thank God for y'all's prayers. He finally said, no, I'm taking my guys home. They need rest. They need mental rest. They need health, you know. They're resting, and if you don't like it, deal with it. And he said, I don't care what you have to do to us, but my guys are coming home. And I've seen that email, meant a lot to me. And then he texted me, said, Isaac, I want to let you know something. You're doing a really great job, and I'm really proud of you. And, you know, it really meant a lot to me. And, you know, I thanked him for taking up for me. I said, you know, I've been a lot of places and seen a lot of bosses that won't do that. I said, so it's something that I recognize. And okay. And then y'all also prayed, I heard, last Tuesday, I wasn't able to make it. Y'all lifted me up in prayer that we'd have the understanding to get this project done. We're still a long ways to get there, but, you know, I believe we're going to get it. So let me say this. This is really awesome. Excuse me. The guy I work with, his name's Gary. He's 62, you know, does real well. Really, really smart fella. And he said he's been stumped over this project because he's never seen it this way. Well, mind you, you know, he's a Christian and whatever understanding he has. And nice fella, real nice fella. Don't think he's a dreamer, but he called me right before we got to site again. He said, Isaac, I kept on having dreams that I'd wake up in a dream, or I'd see myself in a dream, and I'd look at the PLC and I'd see all the problems. And he said, and I started seeing all the problems on the HMI, he might give the testimony Thursday. I think I might have him coming on. I'm pushing him pretty hard. He said, but I was getting these dreams by seeing the problems on the PLC, on the schematics, and on the HMI. And he said, you know, I'd wake up because I couldn't sleep. And I tried to go to sleep and put them away. He said, I woke up, and everything I seen in a dream, I seen the actual problem existing too. And he said, I felt like the Lord was just giving me divine revelation on what to do. He said, then the next day, he was giving me dreams again on this problem that we were facing that we couldn't get past. And he goes, I've had two nights of dreams of problems of fixing this disorder. And I was like, man, is that not awesome? I said, dude, listen, buddy, you're going to have to give that testimony. I said, dude, dreams are biblical from Old Testament to New Testament. I said, God's doing work in you, man. I said, that is fantastic. So I don't know, man. I just thought that was really cool, especially when you hear it from somebody else who hasn't really received or seen that part yet manifest in his life and now seen it come to fruition. You know, hallelujah. And he's been on site and he's really had a pep in his step. And he's really been, man, he's been real encouraging. And I tell you what, man, even though we're still getting beat up pretty bad on the conversations. I got beat up once again today. You know, I just want to thank the Lord, and I also want to thank the Lord that he's going to give me the grace to take these beatings a little more gracefully and not be so harsh, because I can get a little harsh with the customer at times. I just want to tell you the truth. So I just know the Lord's given me more opportunities to deny myself, and I need more opportunities. But hey, thanks everybody. I want to share the testimony.
That's great. Thank you, Isaac. That really boosted our faith. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Missy, are you swatting out a flower? Are you saying you want to talk? Go ahead.
Yeah. Isaac, did you have, I recall somebody saying something once about, I don't know where the testimony came from, about the Lord give them a dream and telling them, showing them how to do it. I don't know where that was from, but that's so cool that the Lord would do that. You know, maybe it was something, I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was something from Garrett or something. I don't know. But that's.
Yeah, I don't recall off the top of my head. You know, I'm sure if it is, it'll come back to me later. But yeah, you're right, man. That is so cool, right? To see the Lord be like, hey, go, like, who's the greatest automation programmer of all time, of any time? Well, it's Christ. I mean, he, you know what I mean? He's like, hey, go in here. Here's your problem. Look at here. Cross over this back. Open up the prints. By the way, your HMI. I mean, come on, man. It is amazing.
Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Thank you, Lord, amen, for doing that. Isaac and this brother.
Thank amen. Thank you, Lord, for continuing to do that also, in Jesus' name. Okay, Dave, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was just going to pray for Isaac, too, and say, Lord, continue to send your technical angels there, the engineers. Help these angels, help them solve their problem with the dreams and visions and inspiration, and give them clear minds and clear thoughts and cool heads, Lord. Not let the enemy get under their skin, which he's so good at doing, especially under problems like these. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful, for hearing our prayer on this, and just helping Isaac out and all his workers and the company there he's working with. Everything's under fire. Same time, helping out this vendor that they're working with, Lord, to tone down the rhetoric and understand what they're dealing with, and give them a little more elbow room to work out these problems. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Nick, go ahead.
Well, hi, everybody. It's hey, been Nick. A while. I've been working so much, and it's just been nonstop every day. So I've been on my feet all day.
Well, praise God, you're sitting down now. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
I got to be at it again tomorrow.
Okay. Well, it's a good job then, isn't it? Praise the Lord. You'll be rolling in the money.
I'm taking a whole week off next week.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, we thank you for working, Nick. Keeping him busy, Lord, making all that money. We thank you, Father, that you just touch him during the day to keep him supernaturally energized and strength into his legs, Lord. We praise you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. All right, Dave.
Yeah, I was just going to pray again. Sorry. Thank you, Father, for helping Nick out.
Amen.
Relieving his feet. So after he's been on his feet all day, he comes home, he can lift him up and feel relaxed.
Amen.
And get a good night's sleep and eat some of that good food that his mom makes. Thank you, Father, for moms and good food and good jobs. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yes, we do. In the name of Jesus right now, we command all of those storms away from Phil and that region in the name of Jesus, that all they'd have was nice, peaceful rain. And not only if they need it, we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We command those storms to go around that region where Phil and Leo are and all of those, all the Galchenko families are and their wives' family, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your protection upon them. Amen. Okay, well, that was quick. Thank you, Jesus. The sirens went off. Praise God. Lord answers quick, don't he? Amen. That's exactly right, dude. They ain't allowed to even form. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Patrick.
Hi, everybody. I had a kind of a long weekend, but I'm just going to ask for prayer, and then maybe if we talk later, I can say something. But the Lord showed me that I have doubt in my heart or in my flesh or some place here that is derailing me. And he took me to a scripture and kind of laid some things out and showed me some things, etc. Even in defining the word doubt in the particular scripture, he led me over into Matthew, which means it is double. or two opinions or two perspectives or two things to decide about, or and causing hesitation and whatnot. So I'm still going through the process, but I just am asking for prayer to eliminate the source of the doubt within me, and to eliminate the strength of the temptation to doubt within me, and it's like I keep going back to this lesson, I guess, that the Lord taught me about the description of sin in the Bible, and that is, it comes in two forms. It's sins that can be forgiven, and the sin nature, which can only be killed or crucified. And God's obvious remedy in Christ is for both of those scenarios to take place. And I guess I keep going back to that and feeling, seeing or recognizing the need for the strength of faith to dwell in the fact that not only are my sins forgiven, but that sin nature has been crucified or killed at the cross. So I don't know if that's enough to go on, at least right now, but I just am asking for God to, I'm not going to say remove the doubt, but to remove the power and the strength that doubt rests upon. I don't know if that makes sense, but so that doubt in its arising in my heart has no strength to stand against faith. Jesus, that was the very thing that he said to Peter when he commanded him to get out and walk on the water. And Peter, here I am speaking about it, and I should just be asking for prayer. But he got out of the boat and he walked, and then he started to see evidence of strength and power and wind blowing and storm, and became afraid. And Jesus told him, "Why did you doubt? Why your faith is small because of your doubt?" And I experienced that more than a couple times in the last few weeks. And and I guess I'm just getting tired of it, but I feel like I need to address this thing and put it to death. So that's my prayer request, is that God would disable the ability and strength of this doubt, which has a foothold somehow in my life. So that's my prayer request.
Okay. Well, Father, we lift up Patrick to you, Lord. You told us John 14:14. When we pray, we use your name, Lord, that we shall have it. And I break the power of doubt and unbelief on Patrick. I command you to go from him in Jesus' name. I break down this stronghold in his mind. I command you to be brought down to the ground in Jesus' name, and the new one of faith brought in and a stronghold around it in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Patrick is a man of faith. When he opens his mouth in prayer, he believes. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Doubt and unbelief, you go from him. Faith, we thank you for staying in Jesus' name. Bold faith. And we praise you for it, Father, because your word says, when you pray and you don't and you believe, you shall have it. And we believe, Lord, that Patrick no longer has to worry about doubt and unbelief. He just believes that you're right there with him. And when he prays, Lord, he knows you've already listened to it. And his prayers are answered in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. All right, go ahead. I don't know who was first. Go ahead, Ray and June.
I don't understand what Pat is referring to when he mentions doubt, but I expect you're dealing with a tormenting spirit. Your speaking on sanctification, Pat, was so anointed. And your prayer just recently for Isaac was mightily answered. And therefore, I can't say I know, but I do assume you're being heavily attacked. Because as even Michael said, you are a man of faith. You know the word is in you. And nothing will take it away. Amen.
Amen. All right, Claire.
Hello. I just wanted to pray for Pat, if that's okay, and for all of the brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Just a short prayer that the Lord's just given me. Father, we know that doubt is sin. And when we confess, then we are cleansed of that sin and we have boldness towards you. So I rebuke doubt from trying to come back on my brother and on any one of my precious brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus. But I know that with doubt comes another really disgusting little spirit called condemnation. And I rebuke that as well in the name of Jesus. I tell you to go. You have no place in the hearts and minds of the saints because we are clean. And Father, I pray that you would loose a spirit of patience onto my brother. That he has the patience of the saints, as it says twice in the New Testament at least. Father, let him know that his time is not your time and give him the will to stand. Even when we look with our natural eyes, we know that we should really just wear blindfolds. It's easier sometimes. So thank you, Lord, for giving my brother Pat and my precious brothers and sisters on this outreach and the ones who are listening an abundance of faith and patience in your goodwill for us, because your paths are infinitely better than our own steps. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Claire. Go ahead, Greg.
Thank you. Pat, if I may, and even if I may, I was actually a few hours ago, which was last night for me, was reading a post from someone I have a great deal of respect for that actually addressed this subject of doubt. And when you mentioned it, it just came to mind, and I quickly dug through and looked it up. I can send you the link. Or I can read it now, which I, you know, if I do that, then everyone gets to hear it on the subject of doubts.
Can you do both?
Oh, look, I can do anything. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right. The link, it's a Facebook post. I don't know if you have Facebook or not, that's all, but let me just read it out anyway. Many years ago, I was beset by terrible doubts. My faith was a roller coaster of ups and downs. This goes for about five brief paragraphs, by the way. The downs, unfortunately, were long and depressive, and every time I heard a sermon on doubting Thomas, I'd go into a frenzy of self-berating. Then, one day, in the middle of telling myself off for being so double-minded in faith, a very peculiar thought crept into my mind. I suddenly realized that the places where my faith was strongest were the places where my deepest doubts had been. In wrestling with and overcoming the doubts, my faith had become mature and robust. What if, ... What if, I thought, instead of trying to beat off the doubts with a club, I welcome them instead? Maybe they were there to build my faith. So the next time a doubt popped up, I said, "Whoa, a doubt, how cool, come this way." And the doubt, like a startled wild thing, took fright and fled, which kind of tunes in what June was saying a little bit. That was not what I'd intended. If the doubts were going to be the means of growing in faith, I didn't want them to flee before we'd been properly introduced. So the next time a doubt popped up, I wasn't so enthusiastic. I let it approach, looked it over carefully, and was disappointed. It was like a scrawny, undersized fish, below legal limit for catching. "Come back when you're bigger," I told it. It never has. For a couple of decades after this, I didn't have any doubts at all. At least, I should clarify, I didn't have any open intellectual doubts that I knew about. I didn't have any doubts of the mind. I classed the doubts Thomas had as belonging to this category. Overt, out there, in full view, logical, unmissable. It probably goes a little bit off track of what you're saying here, but glean through it what you want. But there are other doubts. These are hidden in the heart. "The heart is deceitful and wicked above all things," said Jeremiah, and he is right. Amen, Jeremiah. The heart does an exceptional job of hiding doubts, especially when it comes to faith in Jesus. It's so easy to have a false refuge and not know it. It's so common to have a default coping mechanism that works in the moment of crisis, but it is a substitute for turning to Jesus. Ultimately, it's not the doubts that you know about that are the issue, it's the ones you don't know about, and there's only one way to find out what your heart has locked out. Locked you out of. Ask Jesus to reveal it. End of post. But yeah, I can bring it up and put the link in the chat and you can take it from there, I think.
Amen.
I shall mute.
Okay, William, go ahead.
Yeah, these are the things that the Spirit has been leading me to do.
William, your audio is indistinguishable.
Right now.
That's still bad.
It's still bad, huh?
It's okay now. Don't move. Just talk.
It's good.
It's bad. You moved. You sound like a battery's run down on D2, D3, whatever they call that little thing. No good. Yeah, that might work right there. Go ahead.
Okay. If it happens again, I'll just pray for Pat off the microphone. But number one, we're in definitely warfare. Because it's a battle. And so when doubt comes to my mind, what the Spirit has led me to do is to proclaim. And that is, I cast these thoughts and imaginations down in the mighty name of Jesus. I've been buried with Christ and rose again through the baptism. Buried with Christ and rose again. Therefore, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ within me. Therefore, the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself for me. I am seated in Christ, with Christ in heavenly places. Therefore, I'm no longer my own. You have no place in me. In the mighty name of Jesus, be gone. And sometimes I have to battle over and over and over because it is a battle. It is a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. And I have to keep doing it. And keep doing it. Keep doing it. But see, then I basically what I do too, then after that, the Lord has shown me now, continue to give me thanks. Every time anything tries to come back up, see, it's already been declared. What the enemy's trying to do is to get me to believe it hasn't been done. So then I start giving him thanks and continue to give him thanks and continue to give him thanks. Because what I'm going to learn to do, and I see that it's happening more and more, is to trust the Lord.
Amen. Good word. Thank you, William. All right, Isaac, go ahead.
All righty, back again. This is for Pat. I got a few things come to my mind. I remember things that you shared on, Pat, things that God's done for you in faith. Because you got a lot of faith, man. Well, there was that leaky faucet you had that one time. Most people would have put Teflon tape on that guy. Well, I remember, you know, healed. We'll just say that. Healed. Then there was, I think you had ants one time. Healed. And then I think there was the, in this prayer that you guys had for me, I wasn't here, was it last Tuesday, and I heard you lifting me up for prayer. And I really, you know, I really appreciate all you guys to think of me. But anyways, man answered prayer, you know, look at that. I mean, for this guy to call me, said, man, I had these dreams, which is awesome. And you know, and so praise the Lord. But to talking about doubt, I got home for 4 days and I had food poisoning. So I was ready to be home. I was like, yes. And then I got food poisoning and I was like, no. And, you know, I wasn't claiming it. You know, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I was pretty messed up and we'll leave it at that. But, you know, I was like, okay, I'm not going to accept this. I'm not going to accept this. And I felt a point in time. And I want to say through this for my failure because of the day after the Lord gave me a Bible verse I'm going to share. And then at one point I felt, okay, get out of me, you know, get out of my system. And man, once I thought that thought and even entertained it, man, like it happened. And I felt like I could have fought that one better. I should have. But, you know, here, I want to read this Bible verse, man, that really blessed me. The Lord gave it to me, like, immediately afterwards. And it's a Mark 9, and it's about the epileptic boy. And I'm going to start off here at 20. It's real quick. And it says this, and they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him grievously. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, this is Jesus, he asked his father, how long time is it since this hath come unto him? And he said, from a child. And oft times it cast him both into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But here's where it really gets interesting. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if thou canst, and there's an exclamation mark there, If thou canst, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And that was my prayer for me. I was praying that for myself, you know, and I prayed it. But, you know, now I know that I prayed it once and I have no more unbelief. I'm just going to claim it. I'm going to hang on to it because this one, with God's grace and him, you know, working in me, he's going to get this one right. So he's, and you know, if you read right past that, it says, and when Jesus saw the multitude came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I command thee, come up out of him and enter no more into him. And that boy was healed. You know what I mean? So that's okay, man. I'm saying this for me right now. I don't want to speak toward you, Pat, because I know how great your faith is. I really believe it. But, you know, I was thankful the Lord gave me that. So I said, Lord, help me out my unbelief. And I believe. And it's you know what? It's been worked out. There's no unbelief. And I'm going to hang on to that. And next time something comes up to me, I'm going to say, nope, no unbelief. I believe. And so that's just an awesome verse, man. And you see, Jesus healed that child. That was acceptable when he healed that child, man. So I don't know, whatever that's worth, but, you know, thank you, Pat. And, man, I tell you, thank on those things he's done for you, because I can remember a few, and I know you can remember a lot more.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Go ahead, Andrew or Benjamin.
So I'm just kind of added on to what Isaac was saying, because he's kind of making the same point as me. I'm reading from the New International Version, Hebrews 12:7. Endure hardship. And I'm talking to Pat, but whoever wants to obviously can listen. 12:7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father. And so you may take it as like you're suffering and you're having some sort of hardship, but through this, we need to persevere. And then through this perseverance, we gain endurance. And then he's probably just preparing you for a strength that he wants you to have. And because I was going through doubt a couple of weeks ago, and through this strength, we gain more Christ-like, we gain more sanctification or holiness. And so that's what he wants you to have. That kind of gives you a little bit of encouragement and a little bit more insight. He wants what's best for you. He doesn't want you to just suffer in silence. He wants you to grow from it. And anyways, I'm just trying to encourage you, Pat, and I obviously want everyone to listen to this.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Did you want to respond, Pat?
I was typing it into the text, okay. But I thank everybody for your prayers, and I don't know why, you know, I go through these things, and quite frankly, I appreciate what everybody says, you know, the strengthened and faithful, and you know, obviously you're seeing one aspect of me, you know, from what you see, and you everything you see is right here on the screen. You know, so unfortunately I tend to see the failures, you know, and the learning and the missing and the things that that God may speak to me about and I don't follow through on, and the hesitation and all this sort of thing. However, I probably felt a lot worse at the beginning of this until I heard Isaac's testimony there, and it really blessed my heart that of what the Lord has done and is doing. And I agree with everything that everybody is saying, because it's all so beneficial. And even the things that David was speaking about in the message. It was, I didn't get a chance to listen to the message on Sunday night because I'm preparing for work the next day, etc. But these things that the Lord was showing me and I was struggling through, I woke up and, you know, in the morning and dealt with them and was going through this process, and he was revealing things to me on Monday morning, and I went to drove to work, which takes a couple hours, and I listened to all that message, and everything on that message was just speaking to me. And so I know that the Lord is, that he tends to take me through things, and I don't know if it's the process he puts me through, but I always seem to overanalyze everything and dig down and, you know, to the details and try to, you know, figure the thing out. And sometimes I just get overwhelmed at the immensity of the darkness that is covering the planet. And I mean, not only the planet, but covering the Christian, quote, world. And it just, and again, it's that divided thing. You can see certain things and see the immensity of that darkness. And sometimes it just overwhelms you, like you're a little guy tapping with a little jeweler's tool or something at this huge mountain. And it just, sometimes you get overwhelmed. And if I talk about it, then I really start to get overwhelmed. But the point is I'm not supposed to be looking at that immensity. I'm supposed to be looking at the immensity of the God we serve. And so sometimes when you have questions about this and questions about that, and that you got one eye on each kingdom type thing, that's divided. And that's where that doubt seems to originate. But the thing that I feel is that there's a reason for that. And that God will lead me to that particular reason. It's like the, again, maybe I'm overanalyzing it, but, and I appreciate Michael, who has so much faith. And unfortunately, when you compare yourself with others, you're always going to come up short because so many other people have other gifts. God's given everybody other gifts, and they may excel in those gifts. They have strengths in those areas that you don't have, and that's why God tells us not to compare ourselves among ourselves, compare ourselves with Jesus. But when I look at some of the things that the faith that Michael exercises and prays for, Michael blows past all of that stuff. He blows right past it and gets right to the faith, because that's where it's all done. That's where it all happens. I wish I had that gift. I tend to drag myself through the mud, or maybe God drags me through the mud and whatever. But I'm looking to end up in that place of faith, single eye, single strength, where that temptation of doubt, like William said, he casts it down with a thought. And everybody else who said the same thing, cast it down with a thought. It doesn't take place. It doesn't affect me. I just keep on moving on. at this point in the struggle, so to speak, there's something in there that seems to derail that scenario. And I believe God will lead me to the resolution. And ultimately, I know it will be in Him, in His strength, in His power, in that producing of that faith and overwhelming the darkness. One of the examples that He gave me is light overcoming darkness. There isn't any battle there. Once you turn the light on, the darkness goes. It disappears. It can't stand in the face of light. So I just take confidence in that God's doing something. And I thank everybody for the prayers and thank the Lord for His hand on my life and our lives. So.
Amen. Let me put a disclaimer out there. It's not my faith. It's God's faith. It ain't nothing that I've got. God is working through all of us. And it's the trust factor. You know, that's what it is. Go ahead, Ray and June. And I just had to clarify that, Pat. God is the one that gives out the faith. And He gave me what I need to do the job. He gives you what you need to do the job. Whatever gift that the Holy Spirit has out there, we all have access to it. So thank you, though. I appreciate it. Go ahead, Ray and June.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to some of the things that Pat was bringing up. I truly believe that the accuser is unrelenting. And he's working hard overtime whenever there's an opening that allows him to engage. And I really feel that what's happening is of the enemy. And I don't think it's of the Lord. And it's through the blood of Jesus that we proclaim our victory in all instances. And when we're accused, we have to plead the blood. And that's where the power comes from. You know, we know that Jesus is a healer. He healed everyone. And there were so many aspects of issues that people have had that He healed. Some of them, they were demonic. Some of them were physical, some of them were emotional. Whatever the root cause was, it really didn't matter because He had the wherewithal to cut through it all and heal. And in the same way, the Lord wants us to prosper in Him and not dwell in the darkness or think of the darkness. You mentioned seeing, you know, the light. It penetrates all darkness. And through the blood, we are victorious and we need to overcome each and every accusation that comes against us, every thought of doubt, every instance of thinking of others maybe as having a gift that we wish we had. You know, we all have our role and through the Lord, He will reveal it to us. You have a role, by the way, Patrick, of teaching. I mean, that's been it's been very and your music. I mean, yeah. You have some real gifting there that I don't have. So anyway, through the blood, we are victorious. Amen.
Amen. Well said, Ray. And he's right, Patrick. I envy the way you can go on and on and on talking. I can't do that. I have to say what I'm going to say, and I get it out, and I'm through it, and my mind just goes blank. But you have the capacity to explain things in a way that we understand, and that's a good gift. You could shorten it up a little bit here and there, but that's okay. That's good stuff. Go ahead, Tracy. No, I'm just joking now. I hope you understand.
Well, God bless you guys.
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, it's always awesome to be on here. I just want to say thank you for everybody that shares testimonies. It's a blessing, even for people like me that don't get to talk much. A lot of times I'm, you know, where it's real loud or whatnot, or I don't have a mic or something's going on. But I'm always blessed by listening to you guys. I think that's awesome. So thank you for that. Just be encouraged that it does matter. Your testimony does matter to everybody listening. And I did want to give God glory. So my car, my black car, is paid off here in October. And it was really neat. When we got this car, we were making like double money than we are now. But when we got in this car, my husband and I, we sat down and we prayed together. And I basically said, I'm pretty blunt. I said, Lord, please don't let us get this car if it's going to be taken away from us. So, I just wanted to give him glory. He's honoring that. It's paid off in October, and he's made a way every time. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's see. I've got David up here in the chat. I'll just read it. Hey, family, I really need prayer, especially today. It felt like I took a trip down to hell and back. My wife and I have been under so much attack today. Felt like I was under such darkness, such a foggy mind. I kept having myself and in faith that this is going to be over soon and it'll all be okay. I was wishing all day these attacks would just stop and leave me and my family alone in my heart. I had so much praise reports to share, but it seems like I can't get myself to say that. Well, you're fixing to. Bless God, all of us are going to pray and believe that this thing is gone from in the name of Jesus right now. I break the power of this enemy that's trying to shut David up from giving out the good report. In Jesus' name, I command this darkness to leave him. You go in the name of Jesus. I command this demon of confusion to leave him right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for placing it in him to get up in the morning, put on the battle gear, and go to work in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that David is a battle warrior of yours, and he'll fight for his family. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. He lifts up that two-edged sword, whacks the enemy, which is the demons, the demonic, and self. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father. He has clarity of mind, joy in his heart, peace in his heart, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for David, Alina, and, what's the little, the kiddo's name? Both of them, all both of them, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I say, it's hard for me to keep up with a couple of hundred kids. Thank you, Lord. Amen. David, you are delivered, brother, in Jesus' name. Everybody believe that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
And amen. Yeah, devil, you leave my brother alone and my sister alone in Jesus' name. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I'd like to also pray. Father, I praise you and thank you, Lord, that for David and Alina and their little girls, I just cast down every attack of the enemy in the name of Jesus. I cast down witchcraft. I cast down control. I cast down Jezebel spirits trying to attack them. All spiritual wickedness of darkness, I cast down in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just ask you to put a hedge of protection around them by your angels in the name of Jesus, and know with a shield of faith, and nothing can penetrate it. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. And I just cast down every attack of witchcraft against all the body in the name of Jesus. You have no power and no authority. The curse, is not permitted because we're covered in the blood of Jesus. David and Elaine and the girls are covered in the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus upon them and on all of us. And Lord, I just ask you to strengthen us all to fight the good fight of the faith, lay hold on life eternal, to which we've been called, and confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And we just praise you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that we have the victory, Lord, by the power of your resurrection, by the power of your name, by the power of your omnipotent spirit, Lord. It's nothing of us, it's all you. All the promises are ours and David and Elena's and the girls, Lord. Thank you, Lord, and I praise you, Lord, for watching over them and protecting them. They just command this veil of darkness, and I just speak. Lord, you've delivered them. You've delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of your love. Your word is light, and we speak the word, your word, to them, upon them, Lord, and the darkness must flee, and it is gone in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Tracy, did you want to say something, or did you have to go back to doing whatever you're doing?
No, sir. Thank you, though.
All right. Well, go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to share a little bit the scripture that's really been ministering to my heart from Hebrews 4 about entering the rest of God, and just Jesus is our high priest. And it's just been kind of, you know, the Lord just ministering to my heart, great high priest that we have, and why we can stand in faith together here over all these attacks and have total confidence and just the beauty of that. So I want to, if it's okay, I'm going to read a brief thing here from Hebrews 4. For the word of God, and of course the context is entering his rest and all the promises of God. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, and I just want to pause there, a great high priest, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so just setting our minds on that we have a high priest that's entered into the heavenlies on our behalf, and he's so beautiful and so mighty to think that's ultimately, you know, all these things that we're encountering. You know, I'm dealing with standing against variety of things. You know, we all have something. We all have that Goliath, you know, and we all have the promises of God, and really understanding, like, when we just focus our hearts and have a fresh revelation from the Lord that Jesus is our great high priest that has made all of this possible. And of course, he is our rest. And, you know, like, we're living from feeding on him, on his life, his very life in us. And I wanted to read this too. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. But yeah, I'm just being touched afresh this week. And I thank God, because I've really needed, you know, sometimes our faith can get a little old if we don't keep our hearts pure. You know, our hearts can get hard and rocky, and faith can fade. Like, it has to be tended to. And I've really been pursuing for a while now a fresh revelation of the Lord and the cross. And I'm believing for a revelation that exceeds anything I've ever known before. But yeah, just the beauty of the great high priest that we have. I just wanted to share that. And I hope that encourages you all. Thanks.
And the great part about that, Michelle, is he hears every word we say. He hears every word we say, every prayer that's spoken. Amen. Thank you for that. All right. Anyone else? Amen, David. Y'all are free, Kabar. You are free. And that he is free as can be. Glory to God. Darkness is out your house. Smiles on your face. Skips in your walk. Glory to God. Everything is back to normal. Because Jesus is on the job. All right. Anyone else got something they want to talk about? Ben says, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, well, I was looking at John 3:17 and the demeanor that we're supposed to have instead of judgment, we're supposed to have this saving quality of speaking salvation. And we all know salvation is Jesus Christ. But, you know, you're trying to bring salvation to someone who's already judged you because they say, well, he doesn't go to our church or whatever reason, you know. The judgment comes up so plainly and so easily in people's hearts to say that. You might even find yourself having the mistake of doing this and trying. Like they brought, I mentioned this before, they brought the woman caught in adultery before Jesus. They told him Moses' law, what has to happen to her. But he's writing down in the sand there, and I'm sure God's saying, I got this, Jesus. I'm sending their tutoring angel and their guardian angel to each one of these people, and they're going to drop their rocks because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and them that dwell therein. So he's sovereign over these things. He makes the people drop the rocks, and this woman gets saved because that's what Jesus does. He doesn't judge. And I don't know if this is a discussion or whatever, but salvation is Jesus Christ. It's how much we're supposed to be Jesus Christ. Salvation is what he did for us. And it's a demeanor and it's an action that we're supposed to have and not judge. And I think that this is important because salvation also takes into account all the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Because that's our behavior. That's the Holy Spirit. That's who Jesus and the Father baptizes us with. The Holy Spirit, he refills us with the Holy Spirit. So, I don't know why this judgment might come into you, but we don't like to be judged. And we got a person who accuses us before God all the time and puts us in these ordeals all the time. And he needs a good whack. It just gets me so angry that, because you know, we've all been through this, and I don't know where's the girl from Montreal that wants to just cut his head off, you know? And oh man, it just gets me angry because you're the body of Christ, and we're one body, and we're one spirit. And we're one hope of his calling. We're one Lord. We're one faith. We're one baptism. And we're one God who's over all, in all, and through all. And we don't want to blaspheme that verse. So that puts an end to all this division and this denomination. So this has to be quoted to people. What do you do when you go up to a person? He's already made up his mind about you. And you want to bring him salvation. You know, that's a question, a comment I don't know if we can get into a discussion about this, but there has to be something else that, we could do for these poor lost people who we pray for and who we want them to come to the Lord, the loved ones. Anyway,
keep praying.
You keep praying. You got to have that. We know what the Lord says about us, and we got to have that end in view of what we are. We have something that the Lord can do. We can't do it, but there's an end in view that we want to have. And that end in view is Christ in you. And it has to come to an end somewhere, you know, 30, 60, 100 fold. Yeah, but it's Him that does it. And that end in view is what we look at, and that is what we have to have faith in. And that's what we want. And this demeanor of being a savior and like Jesus. Yeah, that's that one.
Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness, and He will expose the motives of the heart. So He has His own way of doing things.
Amen.
We have to have patience with what He has and His will for these people.
Amen. We have to have that patience, but I don't know if anyone has any experience about this or just knows what to do, because they're both opposite ends. They're judging, and then there's you, a representation of Savior. They're representing someone they're not supposed to represent at all, because that's accusing. And we all know who the accuser is. So I just wanted to bring that forward. Anyway, because it's a whole different concept of living if you live as a savior. You know, you see someone drowning in the ocean, you throw them a big lifesaver. I mean, if they got bad breath, you throw them a lifesaver too. So, praise God.
Oh boy, that was. Go ahead, Claire. That was epic, Andrew.
Andrew, I loved that. I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I have a little bit of a, I wouldn't call it a testimony, but what you asked for is, has anyone had this experience? And I can relay an experience I had on Monday afternoon. So my mom called, and she started telling me about all these things that are wrong with her. But the one specific thing, and remember, this is my mom who didn't tell me about getting vaccinated. She just lied for a year about that. And then eventually told me by omission. And so she was telling me about these things that are happening to her. One of them is that she's got this interesting rash on her hands, and it won't go away, and it's so sore. And I really didn't even think about the vaccine. Like, I was just listening to her, and I'm thinking, oh, I wonder what that's about. And then the Holy Spirit prompted me, and I said to her, when did you get your booster? Or when did you get your second shot? I said. And she said, in October. And I said, and when did you get your third shot? And she said, in January. And I said, and when did the rash start? And she said, October. And then, but like, it could not, it can't put two and two together. Just, she goes, it could be anything. It could be, you know, and she was spouting off all these things. Now, in my rational, sinful self, there was a glimpse, a moment, Andrew, where I really wanted to, you know, rage on her and be like, do you not see this? Like, can you not see it? Am I the only one who can see it? But I didn't. And that's where I knew that I've maybe just grown one iota, just one, just a little bit, because I didn't say anything about the, hey, shh. I didn't say anything about the vaccine. I just said, do you like me to pray for you? Because I know that what she's done in ignorance is really not between me and her, it's between her and God. And I know that I know who lives in me. And if he could do that for the prostitute who beyond a shadow of a doubt was caught in adultery, then I can pray for her in her ignorance. She didn't really want prayer, so that, you know, whatever. But I just, that's the thing. Like, are we gonna judge these people who are walking around with snot noses and coughs and rashes and welts and all these things? Or are we gonna just offer to pray and love? And I think it's far harder to offer to pray. Can I just say that? It really is, especially with the ones we love. The strangers on the street, we seem to have an affinity for, you know, kindness and that sort of stuff. But it's the ones in our own circle. And, you know, these people are waiting on a visa. They're going to be in my house. How, Andrew? How? Like, just pray for me, brother, because, like, what is that going to look like in real time? Where, you know, I don't know. At least I had that second delay on a screen where I could just, you know, wait. But I don't, like, so yes, we have to be Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your inspired exhortation earlier.
Amen, Claire. I was talking to someone in my immediate family that got the jab back last year. All three or four, however how many it was, showing signs of the symptoms that you read about this thing, you know, and I had to just bite my tongue and said, can I pray for you? Well, they allowed me to pray for them. And we just have to believe for them. Like you said, Andrew, I can't judge them. Just love on them and pray on them, pray for them. That's a good lesson. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Patrick.
So, one of the things relates to what Andrew and Claire were talking about that the Lord showed me, and I spoke a little bit about the immensity of the darkness that the world is living in, and people that do not have the Spirit of God, they can't see. It's not that they don't want to. I'm sure that they're is a don't want to in there. As a matter of fact, when I'm thinking there of what John 3:17 that Andrew was talking about, but I'm looking up here. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said to him, amen, I say unto thee, except one be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that was part of some of the conclusion that the Lord is taking me through right now. And that is this: these people, I'm not going to say they're not guilty, but they are in the dark. And when you're in the dark, somebody, if you're in a room that has no light, you can't see. And even a little flicker of a candle in the other corner of the room brings immense light into a completely dark environment. And so, and God said that his word is light. And I know that some we take that to mean enlightenment. And, you know, I think we've spoken at some time in the past on this whole frequency bandwidth and being able to receive certain frequencies, radio waves and this and that, and light being a frequency band. I think there's more truth to this reality that God's word is light. And if you're in the dark, you don't have the ability to see. And I guess that what the Lord was showing me, or really bringing about conviction on, is that it's going to be necessary for us, and I say me, us, to introduce light into that darkness. It may be word, or it probably, as in Jesus's example, it may be the walking out expression, physical expression of his word, creating his work in the earth so that people can see, and it shatters the darkness, it scatters the darkness that they're in. When Jesus walked across the water, and Peter said, "Bid me, Lord, come out to the water," and he went out there and walked on the water, and he fell, and those disciples that had been born again, their frequency bandwidth was getting shattered. This person that they knew of was walking on water. That does not happen in real life. That doesn't happen. I can't accept that. It doesn't. How can this? I'm looking at it. I'm seeing it. How does it happen? They were getting shattered. Their darkness was being pierced by light. It was on them, and they had to accept it. And Jesus walking the planet in his ministry and reaching out and healing people with a touch or with a word or commanding, this was shattering. This was bringing light through his actions that God was performing through him and shattering the light. And so this is what I was starting to see this weekend, that maybe, you know, maybe I trust too much in saying things or trying to convince people or this or that, when in fact, what needs to happen is there needs to be light interjected into this dark room. I'm not speaking of this room. I'm speaking in the place where I am at. The darkness needs to be shaken up and shattered in people's hearts and minds. So I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but that was part of what Claire and part of what Andrew was talking about, and that I think maybe the Lord is calling us into maybe more of an action as opposed to more of words or something. Anyway, that's all I had to say.
Well, that's the way Jesus brought him in, with his action, signs and wonders. And I always brought him in. Yeah, Isaac, go ahead.
Yeah, that was interesting. You know, Andrew was John 3:17. He read that, and I was actually reading in Luke 12:13, and I'll read it real quick, because it's about, you know, how Jesus, let's just see what he says. I think he explains it better. And it says, "And one of the multitude said unto him, Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. But he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said to them, Take heed and keep yourself from all covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And I read through that. Now, all the way throughout that, there's a lot of meat there. Lord opened my eyes to see a lot of it, and I won't go into it, but, you know, that's pretty common. Maybe people just haven't got the portion of Christ you did, because here's the thing, he's not a judge divider. He doesn't divide that 30, you know, he's not dividing that how much Christ we get. It's, we've been given the full inheritance, right? We have that whole inheritance. So there's nothing to be divided about. And is he judging us for not? I think what it comes down to is, do we accept it? You know, do we accept it? Like, look here on, Lord, give me another piece of wisdom here on Matthew 13. Because, you know, in 13, I read this, and sometimes I just reread it and reread it and reread it. And Michael, you've mentioned before how you can read something and you read it, and then sometimes you, boom, it hits you again. Oh, thank God for opening my eyes. Thank you, Father. Well, this happened to me. Because we know that in 13 and 7, it says, or in 8, it says, and some yielded fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, right? And I believe that's spirit, soul, body, Christ. Well, look over in verse 33. And another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, to was all leaven, 30, 60, 100-fold, 3 measures of meal. So there's three measures there, 30, 60, 100. Like Ecclesiastes 11, come to my mind, 11:1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and after many days it shall return. Give a portion of 7, yea, a portion of 8. You know, that bread with that water, it expands. And, you know, we're talking about Jesus, because he is the true bread out of heaven, John 6. But to get back to what this is saying here in Luke 12,
hang on. Sorry. Speaker, can you hear me?
These speakers like to shut off on me.
That's okay. We heard it.
Okay. Well,
you know, that's all right. Go ahead.
Okay. And as I was reading here, back at Luke 12 and, you know, 13 and through on, if you watch that man who says this, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man. So I took the ground. Now, I could be wrong on this, but I'm just telling you, so bear with me. The ground is kind of the flesh, because that's where, you know, people were made of flesh and dust and dirt. Of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful, and he reasoned with himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have not wherewith to bestow my fruits? Quote that, my fruits, right? See the man, my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my grain, my words, you know, mixed in with the true words, and all my goods. And I will say to my soul. Now read up back again where Jesus says in verse 4, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body and afterward have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who hath, after he hath killed, hath power to cast in hell. That ain't, listen, buddies, that ain't your soul. God created that, and he has got power and the authority where to put it, right? And so that's what I was noticing here is that, try to wrap this up, is that, you know, one, to answer a question, well, something Lord's been showing me, I should say, is, he said, who made me a judge or divider? We have full inheritance. And maybe some people don't understand that. I actually got to, about 2 weeks ago when I first got in Scranton, I met a maintenance fellow, and he invited me over to his house. He's a Christian, him and his wife and their older couple and his pastor. This all just happened it just happened organically. He invited me, his pastor, his pastor's wife, his neighbors, and, you know, great people, Italian. They was really cool. But, you know, I could already perceive how I was, like you said, Andrew, judged. The pastor had a lot of word. He knew a lot of word. He knew it better than me. I didn't feel the need to combat him. I just listened, possible and I could, but I couldn't get through. You know what I mean? I was already summed up. But that's okay, because, you know, that full measure of Christ was a measure that really, you know, humbled himself. And, you know, you see it when others may not have that full measure. They haven't got that humbleness. And listen, I'm still working on it, man, because I could do a better job at work. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, which I mentioned earlier, and the Lord's giving me the grace to do it. But yeah, I hope that answers anything. I don't want to ramble. I apologize if I did. But whatever it's worth, just laying it out there. I happened to be reading it the other day, and I thought that made a little bit of sense. So we'll go from there. Anyways.
Amen. Okay, Dave.
Yeah, one of the scriptures the Lord gave me tonight, you know, where we were here, it was in Psalms 149. It kind of falls in line with a little bit what Pat was saying. Like, maybe we got to be a little more active in what we're, you know, dealing with here in a way, you know, rather than, you know, seeing what's happening and just kind of being oohed and ahed by everything. Because we can. I mean, we can look at it. We're watching this thing unfold in front of our eyes, wondering what to do next. Where is this leading and watching and, you know. But here's what he said in the Psalms 149, which was kind of pretty good. And it kind of falls suit for what we usually do and where we usually take it and where we still got to be and where we got to keep on going. And it says, praise the Lord, which we do. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. So, you know, we're going to praise the Lord. We keep that always in our forefront, in our mind. We're praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And it says, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king, which we know is Jesus. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. That's a beautiful passage. Let the saints exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. I was thinking about Nick lying down there earlier on his bed when I seen that. That's the passage I got. Then it says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in her hand. Here we go, Pat. Get ready. All right, we're getting ready. To execute vengeance upon the nations and punishment upon the peoples. To bind the kings with chains and the nobles with fetters irons. To execute on them the judgment written. This honor have all the saints. Praise the Lord. That's our job, man. We get out there and start praying down and tackling this world and casting things down and taking authority in the name of Jesus and praising the Lord while we're doing it. That's what we're going to do, man. That's our job. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Let's see now. I saw something in there. Hang on. Tiana's great-grandmother, step-grandmother, Nancy, is old and very sick in the hospital and will be going home soon. Please be in agreement that she will come to the Lord and repent before she leaves earth. Praise God. Amen. In the name of Jesus right now, I break the power of whatever has kept her from coming into the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, I break your power over her right now, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you're going to send somebody there to minister to her. And I thank you for it, Father. I ask you to grant repentance to Granny and to bring her in, Lord, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. You know, I had a brother-in-law one time that was unconscious, that the Lord made me get up early in the morning to go up and pray for him. And I believe with all my heart, because I had such a peace in my heart afterwards, that God saved him. He was unconscious. But the Lord told me to go up there and pray for him to bring him into the, because I had been praying for him. And he's in the kingdom now because of it. So, anybody else want to pray? I think Claire prayed for her in the chat. Did you, Claire? Let's see.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Okay. I'll just read what I prayed. Nancy is a girl's name, and it means God has favored me. So, Father, we pray that your favor is indeed on Great Granny Nancy and on her life. And Lord, we believe that you'll provide the opportunity for this woman to come to the knowledge of the truth, indeed, the knowledge of her Savior. Father, we know that your timing is always perfect and that you will use those who are around her to minister to her. Lord, I know how beautiful it is when we can help other family members. I don't want to say cross over, but I do want to say we can help them see. And I know it's never us, it's just Christ in us. So if it is your will to let Samuel and Tiana be part of this, Lord, then thank you. I pray that they will seek you. I know they're very diligent in seeking you, Lord, and they will know whether they're by coin toss or verse by random. They will know whether they need to drive to Granny Nancy. And once they're there, the Holy Spirit will take over, if that is indeed your will. If not, Lord, we know that your arm is not too short to save. There will be a nurse, there will be an angel, there will be someone who is willing to share the gospel with this woman, because we know that Tiana has the faith for her family, blood or not, to come into the kingdom in a mighty way. That is household salvation. That is what is promised in your word, Lord. And we will not give up. We will not be double-minded. We will not lose hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We believe. Thank you, Lord. Miss Nancy, come in. In Jesus' name. You go, Granny. All right, go ahead, Theo.
I just wanted to thank Claire for sharing her testimony with her mom. I realized that is how I was raised, to pin something on a symptom on some kind of action, and that was the reason. And it was my job to fix that person by telling them, this is what you did wrong, and here's the result, you know. And I had to go through that today. And I just want to thank Claire for sharing that. That really opened my eyes to a lot of things about treating people with grace and not condemnation, and how Christ would have done it. And I just praise the Lord for that revelation to me. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for humility and humbleness and grace. Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I'm not sure exactly what the subject is. I guess we're kind of talking about a few different things, but well, one thing, just a quick testimony with just the Lord. I was a while back, I had a lot of anger for a long time with everything going on and all the ignorance and the insanity in the world and with the vaccine. And long story short, I won't get into the details, but the Lord, I was just like really before him confessing all my anger. And I think it's hatred when we're mad at people, you know, it's hatred. And the Lord just changed my heart in that moment. And it was just really a beautiful moment where I went from this, how could they be so ignorant kind of an attitude. And, you know, just bringing that before the Lord. I love to like bring it really honest and raw to the Lord, you know, and just say, this is where I'm at, Lord. What are you going to do about it? You know, this is ugly stuff. And I, you know, of course, I saw Jesus on the cross and Stephen saying, you know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. And it was really cool because the Holy Spirit just like gave me understanding. Like, they didn't just say the words. They weren't just quoting scriptures. Like, they were really praying. Jesus was really praying for those people. And so I just experienced him in that moment. It literally changed my heart. And I just began to weep and feel such an incredible blessing. Like, I could be, somebody was talking about the blindness. Like, that could be me. And just the, why am I not blind? You know, why am I not going to hell? Why am I not running around waving an LGBTQZ whatever flag? You know, like, praise God, thank you. And let me be on my face crying out for these people and family and friends. And so I just wanted to testify to God's power to just, you know, give us his nature. And I've really been able to walk in it in a fresh mercy since then. I have to watch it though. I can, because it's so crazy. I can slip into that, but if I guard that, I can keep that heart change that he gave me. So, and I also wanted to say, just kind of share with you all that what's been ringing in my spirit this week with everything in the world and some dreams that I've been having of like catching a plane over and over and over. I'm catching a plane and it's like, I prayed like, Lord, what does this dream mean? What is the plane? Am I supposed to leave Florida? There's a tsunami that's supposed to hit. You know, what's, you got to tell me today. And I said, you know, how you guys, I'm just so encouraged by the faith here. I'm like, I'm asking in faith today that you're going to speak to me on this. Because it's been a while. I'm like, what do these dreams mean? And I felt led to listen to Watch Therefore. It's a Messianic Jewish man, Dov Schwartz. And he was talking about the rapture that very morning before like 8:30. And he says in his video, you got to get to the airport. Are you going to get to the airport for the rapture? And so I actually emailed him and I said, do you usually, I've heard that this morning I prayed. And he said, yeah, somebody this morning had used that analogy and I used it, you know, and I never usually say that. But, so what he's really put in my heart though, with all of the, that was kind of a sideline. I just wanted to share that with you guys. But what I was trying to say is that he says, what's in my spirit so strong is when these things begin to happen, look up for your redemption draweth nigh. And today he's like, you know, Michelle, when you look up, you can't look down. You can't obsess with the news. You can't obsess with all the craziness, because I can get sucked into that. It's, you know, it's like a bad train wreck. You know, you just can't. It's exciting. It's tantalizing. What's the word? And I think it's meant to be by the enemy. So we'll get obsessed with it. And so I just wanted to share that. Look up. That's kind of what I've been hearing. Look at, which I think somebody was just saying and worshiping and praising constantly, like just keeping our eyes on the Father. Yeah, thanks. Sorry, that was a little bit longer than I meant it to be.
No, that's good. That's something that needs to be brought up, is that news junkie spirit that comes across our side at times, you know. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what came to me about the airplane, I don't know what the rest of the dream is, but it made me think of dwelling in heavenly places, you know. Colossians, I believe it is, it says, for if you were raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. For in Christ our life is manifested, then you shall also be manifested with him in glory. So I, like you said, I don't know what the rest of the dream is, but that just, the Lord's telling you, I think maybe to, what it means is dwelling in heavenly places. You got to dwell in heavenly places now and, you know, not pay attention to all this news, you know, and let it be a distraction, but, just remember that we seek the things that are above.
Amen. Yes, Claire.
That's great, Missy. I totally agree. What the Lord said to me in my spirit when you were explaining that, Michelle, the airplane is an ark. So if you're getting it, if you're getting into the airplane, then you're in the ark, so you're safe. He will protect you. If it's a bit of a rush, well, then hop to it, sister. And if you're missing it, then it's obviously a warning. So we've had some people that we've interpreted dreams for that didn't like that interpretation, and then got another one from someone else because they didn't like the fact that they were missing the planes. But that doesn't mean it's going to pass, right? The Lord is so gracious to warn us in our dreams, to correct us so gently. So I don't think you are missing the planes. That's not what you said. I'm just, you know, sharing. I probably shouldn't share so much.
Yeah, thank you. No, I appreciate your interpretations. Yeah. Time was of the essence in the dream. It's that's definitely the thing has been urgency. Yeah. Thank you.
Amen. Yes, Missy.
Another verse that just came to me was, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the things, all the anxieties of life, and all the things that are the hustle and bustle that go on around you. It just reminds me of what the Lord, a verse that the Lord really impressed me with. I think it's Psalm 119:37 is, it says, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken me in your ways. And I said a little bit on this the other week, what the Lord showed me about this. All this physical life is vanity because it's perishing, it's corrupt, it's corroding, it's rusting, all passing away. And you know, trying to think, look at the things which look not at the things which are temporal, but the things which are eternal. For the things which are temporal, I'm totally losing. I usually know this, I forget how it goes now. But I think you know what I mean. I forget what, I gotta look it up. That's driving me nuts now. It's 2 Corinthians 4. Look not at the things. Oh, geez. While we look not at the things which are seen, there we go. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There we go. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting caught between two things here. Lovely, and what you were sharing, Missy. That's my favorite South African term, is lovely. All right. Who's next? Oh, I know what I was going to say a little bit about. I shared, I think it's last week, that I'm going to, it looks like that we may be real close to the tribulation. And of course, as you know, the bride will have been picked before tribulation, I believe. And of course, the man child will be anointed before the tribulation, because the man child leads the bride into tribulation. So I think we think that we're real, real close, because Becerra just Sarah looks like the covenant of many. So the reason I'm saying this is ask the Lord to reveal anything in your life that may be hindering your walk, you know, and deal with it, you know, just repent, get ready, because we're fixing to go into this thing ready and waiting for the man child to come in and direct us. And I'm going to tell you something, we're fixing to see some good stuff along with the bad stuff. But the good stuff is what I've been waiting on for so many years. And I'm sure some of y'all have too. But you have to understand that there's going to be a lot of bad things we see. But God's going to shield his bride. His bride will be shielded. It's going to be some mighty, mighty works of God during those days. Let it rain. Yeah. Amen. Let it pour, Lord. Let it pour. And Lord knows it. We need his, that's right, Julie. The judgments come on the wicked and not the righteous, which brings a lot of people. The times ahead is going to bring people out of those apostate churches. We got to be ready to disciple them when they come out and come into the, when we come into this thing, God's going to populate heaven during this time. What we understand, it's going to be more people come into heaven than has been from now back to Jesus. It's going to populate earth, and we're going to be a part of it. Those who have absolutely surrendered to the Lord. And I believe that everyone here is coming in to the bride. And that's how you come in to the bride, is to have the faith to believe it, and the man child, just faith to believe that you're part of it. It's G-E-S-A-R-A, I think. Anybody else? Yes, Michelle.
I missed what you said. You said something appears to be the covenant with many. Can you repeat that, Michael?
Just Sarah. You can look it up online. We're almost ready to close out here. I've been through it before. It's this new financial system, quantitative financial system that they're bringing online. That you may have heard about. Russia's already gold back. India's gold back. And I believe China is gold back. U.S. is gold back now, believe it or not. And you can look it up online. Go to Operation Disclosure. It'll show you a lot of it. Just don't worry about the New Age stuff you see on it, because there's a lot of that. All right, anybody else need prayer before we get out of here? Or close, I should say, not get out of here. Close. Well, Lord, we just thank you. What's that?
Michael, this is Cheryl.
Yeah, Cheryl.
Hi. I need some prayer.
Okay.
I need prayer for protection, not only for myself, but my children and my stepdad. There is a man that my stepdad trusted with all his money and his pension and all that, and he's come in and taken over $800,000 out of his bank account. And I found out that he is sole beneficiary to everything that my stepdad has. And all I want to do is help my stepdad live out his life here at home. And this man has gone to great lengths to drag up my past before I came to this ministry, and to destroy me, and he is
okay. Well, let's pray, Cheryl. I know what you want me to pray for. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against this attack on Cheryl's stepdad and her. We bind the forces of evil that are doing that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that everything that the enemy has stolen from her stepdad, that is restored in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that her stepdad is going to be able to live out his life in Christ at home with Cheryl in Jesus' name. And I thank you for this wonderful relationship that you have given them. And I thank you, Lord, that you are going to restore everything to this man. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Y'all believe that? Glory to God, glory to God. We just praise you, Father, that this done. And Lord, we thank you for giving Cheryl bold faith to believe it. And don't backtrack on it. Just go ahead and thank God for it and praise him for it, because it is done, because the word is written. When you pray in his name, you shall have it. And we do. We pray peace over Cheryl right now in the name of Jesus. We pray joy in her heart, because she has the way maker, as the old song goes. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen, Cheryl.
Yes, amen. And he's slandering me. And
don't worry about it.
The Lord put it in my heart that this man also can be saved. So, I mean, this man was put here to put on my cross, put me on my cross. And at one point I was fighting it, and I just praise the Lord, because everything that's happening day by day, the Lord is working into bringing the darkness into the light. And I told the man, I said, you can have all the money, because it's not the money that's going to save me or my stepdad or anything like that, because I'm ready to see the miracles. I want some great testimonies. I want to see taxes paid out of the fish's mouth. I want to see just miracles happen. And money can also, I want to help people. It's not the money. And I told him that. I'm in fear of my life and my children's life, because this man is an ex-cop, and my stepdad told me that he has a lot of pride, and he's not sure what this man might do if I got in his way.
Amen. Well, Cheryl,
I believe
there's one thing that you need to know, who you have backing you, and that's Jesus. He's in front of you. He's behind you. He's on the left side. He's on the right side. And nothing can anywise hurt you. Okay? Yeah. Just remember
Amen.
That.
Thank you.
And just believe it.
Thank you. Thank you.
That doesn't make any difference what Dad says. This man says, it's what God says. That's right. Fear is not an option. Greg says fear is not an option for believers. You don't fear, you pray.
Right.
And we believe. Devil. That's right. We're believing with you, so just believe it. It's done. It is done.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
We love you, Sharon. We're still praying for you, huh?
Thank you. And I love you all so much because.
Amen. All right. Well, we're out of time once again. And I thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that are answered tonight and all the words that were spoken tonight, that they would get in our spirit. In Jesus' name. Good night, y'all.